Hello everyone, and welcome to the Ecosystemic Futures podcast presented by NASA Convergent Aeronautics Solutions Project in collaboration with Shoshin Works, a global firm helping organizations and nations navigate ecosystemic transformation. As our world is increasingly digital and interconnected, ecosystemic models are reshaping society, industry, the economy, and policy, and they are reframing how we build for resilient futures. Ecosystemic Futures investigates this expansive and hyper-connected paradigm and explores frameworks to help us achieve more beneficial futures. I am Marco Annunziata, your host today. I'm the co-founder of Annunziata & Desai Advisors. I'm an economics PhD, former chief economist and head of business innovation strategy at General Electric. And prior to GE, I worked in policy and in finance. My expertise lies at the intersection of global economic and financial trends with technology and innovation. And my guest today is my good friend Francesco Iorio, who goes by Frio. So I'll call him Frio, don't get confused. Name is Francesco Iorio. Francesco Frio is the co-founder and CEO of Augmenta, and he has been a pioneer in AI and generative design for over 15 years. A mathematician and computer scientist by training, Frio has dedicated his career to optimizing complex systems. At Autodesk, he led teams and created AI-driven design tools. And now with Augmenta, he is using AI to automate building design, bringing innovation to the construction industry. His vision is to redefine how physical industries approach problem solving through AI-driven collaboration. Frio, I'm so delighted to welcome you to the podcast. Welcome. And anything else we should be saying about you?
Oh, you've said more than enough already. It's an absolute pleasure actually being here. Thank you for having me, Mark.
Wonderful. Frio, I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have today because we are going to be diving deep into an area where artificial intelligence can truly deliver substantial concrete benefits. Today, all the hype is about generative AI engines like ChatGPT, and that drives me crazy, partly because when you and I first met at Autodesk back in 2018, I was very impressed by how you and your team were leveraging AI into generative design. It was driving a truly transformational combination of human and machine intelligence. And in fact, the audience should know you are known as the father of generative design. And since then, with Augmenta, your focus is on transforming the construction industry. So first of all, let's take a step back. And you are an AI expert. I mentioned ChatGPT. I mentioned generative design. Do you want to kick us off with some general consideration on AI and Gen AI and where you see the true power and value of these technologies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, generative AI is certainly kind of all the rage. It has come to the public attention, right? So only in the last few years, but you must have seen, or everyone actually must have seen, some crazy charts that show the adoption being faster than almost any other technology before in human history, right? So essentially kind of digital technology. So it's certainly something that is being perceived globally very strongly as an extension of kind of people's abilities, right? So to really kind of reach beyond where their training, their experience, their careers actually have taken them before, right? So, and this has a really incredible impact actually on a variety of industries, right? So, and fundamentally something that has started with, let's say, creative output, like images or texts, like poems, right? So was considered something that would be like the final frontier of artificial intelligence originally, right? So essentially the creativity, right? So to create art, right? So it was once actually considered like the ultimate goal or something that would not be possible, right? So whereas interestingly enough, it's this more, let's say, consumer facing aspect of artificial intelligence that has come to the fore, right? So kind of first, right? So in the last few years, coincidentally, given the prowess and the technology behind large language models and diffusion models, actually vastly, right? So, but what's even more transformational, I think, is really the combination of, let's say, design thinking, generative methods, let's say, computational methods that have existed, right, in the past, right? So when combined appropriately with the latest advances in machine learning and AI, right? And so I think that this combination can truly change the way specific industry verticals are approached, right? Where large scale, kind of human scale problems, right, so are actually approached and eventually solved, right? So in a way that was really kind of not possible before. And so that's really kind of what excites me the most, right? So it's this, the advancements and the reception from the general public about this technology in a way that has moved away from being kind of scary, if you will, and towards essentially an acceptance, if you will, right? So towards a level of acceptance, especially by the new generations, right? So that kind of, you know, bodes well for a future where, again, AI participates directly, again, into solving the types of challenges that are, again, a race scale.
It's a very good point, because you're right that this latest wave has increased the acceptance and even the enthusiasm, which is starting to counterbalance the dystopian fear of AI that has characterized the previous decades, I would say. And so one of the applications where we can really leverage the power of this technology is exactly in building, in the construction industry. Now, you had already been steeped into it at Autodesk, which it's famous because of its prowess in designing software models for the construction industry. Can you tell us a bit to set the stage, why construction? Why is that the sector where you have decided to apply your skills? What are the challenges? What is the size of the opportunity? Why construction?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And from someone who does not actually come with a built-in construction kind of background, right? So this is a question I'm always actually very happy to answer, right? So, and it's a realization that I, and probably as well as most of the kind of general public out there, kind of came to make darn late in life, right? So, and it's a byproduct of the fact that there is a large discrepancy, if you will, right? So between the perception or the lack of perception that people have in the built environment and what actually is going on kind of behind the scenes, right? So, I mean, Mark, you all too well, you know, how pervasive the built environment is in our lives, right? So like the societal, environmental and economic impact that it has, right? So, but it's not quite as prominent in people's minds, in people's vision, from policy to kind of daily life, right? So, and so people consider, I don't know, products like cell phones and cars a lot more kind of touch, tangible, closer, if you will, to their sensitivity, right? So, whereas the built environment is something that is kind of taken for granted, if you will. But in fact, as you know, the built environment and construction, right? So for the built environment is a 13 trillion industry, right? So it's one of the colossal human endeavors, right? So that it's constantly growing, right? So, but at the same time, if you dig deeper, you can also kind of see how productivity has been kind of historically very low, right? So it's an industry that is kind of marred by a number of challenges and issues, right? So that seems to kind of still kind of stand in the way of progress, right? So in terms of economic output, right? So, and also environmental impact. So when you see it, you cannot unsee it. Right. So the more you dig, right. So I said, when you're facing this stark realization, right. So essentially my drive as a scientist, if you will, has been to try to do something about it. Right. So in the past, I've been applying design automation and artificial intelligence to advanced manufacturing and mechanical engineering. Right. So essentially kind of product, large scale product development, if you will. Right. So automotive, et cetera. So which in themselves are very important industries of their own, right? So, but honestly, in terms of the global impact, like at the human race scale, right? So there are very few industries and very few opportunities to affect the human condition as construction, right? So as the built environment. And so that's really the reason why, you know, when I saw the distance between the opportunity of transforming the construction industry with digital systems and the current state of the art, right? So I thought that I'd have to give it a shot.
So it's a very good point, because what you said, that we take the built environment for granted, is very true. when I look at it as an economist, I find it interesting because on the one hand, the importance of construction in the economy is recognized. We know people, when they analyze the economic cycle and wonder whether the economy is accelerating or slowing down, you see even in press conferences by the Federal Reserve, there is always an eye given to what's happening with construction, what's happening to housing demand, interest rates, etc. So that is recognized. But as you said, it's taken for granted. Nobody seems to know, for example, what you pointed out, which to me is huge. There's essentially zero productivity growth in the construction industry. And for the last several decades, there have actually been series of decades when productivity has declined in construction rather than increased, which is extraordinary. It doesn't happen in any other industry, and it's a global problem. Plus, as you mentioned, the built environment determines and shapes the way we live, the way we work, and the impact on the environment. So it's absolutely true. Now, what you've realized, the challenge, the size of the challenge. You've also realized the granularity of the challenge. So tell us a bit, why is it so, has it proven almost impossible so far to achieve productivity improvements in construction? What are the actual pain points and how can they address through digital technology?
That's also a great question. This is an extremely broad topic, right? So as in the challenge of productivity and environmental impact of construction is extremely complex, in fact. And so it starts at contracts, kind of interestingly, right? So the pieces of paper that stakeholders in construction projects are exchanging with each other, right? So that delineate their roles and responsibilities, right? So, and liabilities, right? So, therefore, insurance, right? So, it is a kind of big part of how these projects actually are created and designed and then deployed, right? So the challenges are really multiple because as opposed to much more repeatable operations and organizational structures like the ones present in manufacturing, right? So construction is kind of perennially an effort that is represented by snowflakes, right? So as in, if you think about it, right? So let's say a design and the engineering effort that can take multiple years or decades to advance the state of the art in specific products or projects, right? Such as aerospace or automotive or consumer products, electronics, right? So those are efforts that are kind of poured into a program or a multitude of programs that result into thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of identical products, identical entities, objects, if you will. And people, and especially manufacturing, pharmaceuticals too, but especially manufacturing, have over the decades excelled at optimizing, right? So at designing very carefully what it takes to repeatably create operations that output very deterministic objects or items, right? So your phone, your car, they're assembled and manufactured in a way that is extremely repeatable, extremely fast, right? So the problem is that with construction, this is rarely the case, right? So this is kind of the main kind of fundamental challenge, right? So people don't want to live, and they don't necessarily want to work, and they don't want to operate, if you will, in a stack of identical buildings, right? So while I'm perfectly fine of purchasing a car that is similar to many others that I can see out there, right? So with exceptions, by all means, right? So again, in the built environment, the sensitivity is actually very different, right? So, so as in efforts like modular construction, for example, that is one of the kind of archetypal ways people have tried to tackle the problem in construction, right? So it's something that has never kind of truly taken off, like beyond a certain level. And that's fundamentally the reason, right? So people that don't necessarily want to live in kind of prefabricated boxes. Of course, there's levels of new ones, right? So, but this is one of the fundamental issues. So this means that the effort in design, engineering, coordination, calibration, compliance, permitting that permeate the construction world, right? So is extremely targeted at individual projects and can hardly ever be reused, right? So, and so this actually determines a level of imbalance, right? So in the investment between design and construction that is only present in in construction, effectively in this field, right? So, and this lack of pure repeatability, if you will, is something that is difficult to overcome, or rather, it's a challenge that is much harder to solve from a purely systematic technological way, if you will, an approach. And this is actually the root, okay, I believe actually the root of all evil, if you will, root of all of our problems there. Right? So.
Yeah, so our desire for customization and uniqueness as the root of all evil in this case. It's a beautiful description. So how are you addressing this? How are you squaring the circle?
Yeah, so that's the million-dollar question, really, right? So as in, I think the problem is that the approach that has been taken in the past has been generally to take shortcuts. That's really kind of what humans actually tend to do. Like, humans are lazy by design, right? So, and technology is there to prove it. We always try to create the next technological advancement so that we do less work, right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, or faster or cheaper, yeah, right? So, but at the end of the day, that's an interesting characteristic. But again, in this particular circumstance, again, the shortcuts are subpar, right? So are substandard. Again, I mentioned a modular construction actually as one. And of course, modular construction has its place. It has its place. It is very successfully deployed in specific circumstances, but it's not a ubiquitous solution, right? So when repeatability becomes a challenge or an impossibility, essentially the next best, I think, approach, if you will, is literally embrace that complexity kind of head on, right? So, and embracing that complexity means attempting technological approaches that understand that the complexity is its unquestionable part of these processes, right? And try to limit the extent to which this uncertainty exists, right? If you think about it, actually, so far, for the last 50 years, design systems and tools, so technology to provide digital support to construction, design and engineering, right? So has been vastly driven by, let's say, the primordial architectural approach of having a drafting table, right? So where people painstakingly draw lines and perform calculations on where to put these lines that represent schematically, right? So how a building actually needs to be constructed, mm-hmm. right? So where the walls actually are going to end up, where the windows are, where the pipes are, et cetera, right? So, but if you think about it, this approach has a fatal flaw. It is the flaw of too much affordance. So what it means is that design tools that have existed for the longest time, right? So substitute very well that drafting table, but they don't bring to the fore actual construction knowledge and construction experience. So they don't guide you towards creating something that you can actually build, right? You can actually manufacture, that you can actually procure, that you can actually permit, et cetera, right? So everything has been created to give the architects and designers and engineers the maximum amount of freedom, but at the expense, if you will, of, again, providing too much affordance. So, and this is actually where the AI approach, or essentially a different technological approach, actually is warranted, in my opinion, because it's something that it can be used to shepherd people into designing only what can be created, only what can be constructed in a way that is effective and efficient. And so both in terms of the economy of the projects, right, themselves, but also the sustainability aspect, right? So in introducing them actually by design.
So what you're talking about, Frio, is really to bring already into the design stage, bringing into it already the knowledge of what is actually feasible, necessary, and efficient in the actual physical construction stage, right?
That's precisely it, right? So this is something that we mention often when we're asked essentially kind of how we see like a new generation of enabling technology, right? So and AI is such a technology, right? So it's the realization that people have progressively delegated experience and expertise and fragmented it, right? So across a large set of experts, right? So because of the increasing complexity of projects, right? So as the construction industry matured, right? So, but if you think about it, right? So it's in medieval times and even before, right? So there was this concept of master builders, right? So a master builder would be someone who, starting from the kind of lowest level, a kind of manual work, would learn progressively the means and methods from the ground up and reaching the highest level of architectural knowledge, right? So, but with full experience of everything that is required to build a building, right? It's kind of top to bottom, right? So this was possible back then because the means and methods were relatively limited. So a single person, a single individual, could conceivably in their lifetime essentially acquire enough experience to be considered a master builder, right? So, and literally have in their head all the information that is needed to properly direct and steer a project, right? So start to end, right? So from the construction materials to the highest level of intent, right? So this is not possible today, right? So again, the buildings are much more complex. Regulatory compliance, rightly so, is very, very strict and very complicated, extremely varied across the planet as well, right? So, and so the information and the expertise has been parceled out to large groups of individuals that have to work together to consider these many perspectives, if you will, on a project, right? So to make it whole, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we truly believe that artificial intelligence can work as a surrogate master builder companion, if you will, right? So it's the type of technology that can, in fact, subsume an extraordinary amount of written and unwritten knowledge about the construction industry, right? So the written knowledge being construction codes and compliance and engineering, but also the unwritten knowledge, the tribal knowledge that only people who actually work the field learn to understand and appreciate, right? So, and it's this combination under one kind of roof, if you will, accessible by groups of individuals in the form of AI, right? So that we think is the next stage, right? So it's the next step that design tools need to embed in order to move the industry forward meaningfully.
It's an excellent point in several levels. Let's make it even more concrete for you. That is, as you are developing these artificial intelligence tools exactly to create a new artificial master builder companion to the human architect, the human designer, how does the new process work? Where are we at the stage of the tools you have been developing? What are some of the proof points you have achieved so far?
Absolutely. So we picked intentionally a very, let's say, orthogonal approach and path relative to where the essentially industry providers actually have gone so far. So instead of starting at the architectural stage, the very beginning of the architectural process, so we started our process by considering that buildings are meant to be constructed. So everything that needs to happen in a digital design process needs to end with something that can be procured, with something that can be actually implemented, with the level of information and detail that people can use to make actual decisions. And so we started at the opposite end, which is the construction trades, right? So we deploy now essentially the first instance of our AIJ agents, right? So specifically to help trades and in the first instance, electrical trades people, right? So with the ability to design electrical systems inside buildings faster than ever before, right? So this is actually a very concrete problem that exists today, right? And so as in part of the digital design process is to create these 3D models. They are essentially digital maps of where all construction materials and parts and pieces need to be physically located inside the building, right? So, which has at the same time the advantage over 2D drawings, right? So has several advantages. One is to truly represent the actual construction material, the bills of materials, right? Mm-hmm. So that you need to procure, right? So, but also a extremely detailed level of information for the builders in the field to know exactly where to put everything. Like it's truly a map, right? So it's a map of construction, if you will. Creating these digital maps is valuable, but is extremely time consuming and very, very expensive, right? So there are only a few folks in the world, actually, I mean, you know, relatively speaking, who have simultaneously the construction domain knowledge and the digital experience to craft these designs, to craft these building models, these 3D maps, right? So, and unfortunately, it's a skill that is not actually getting replenished. As folks actually in the industry retire, right? So there are fewer and fewer new entrants in the field, in the construction industry, that are willing to make that their jobs, right? So that's their aspiration, right? So it's a challenge. We, again, on one hand, we have the desire to have more and more detailed maps, right? So to de-risk construction projects and to make them faster, more efficient. On the other hand, there is a dearth of skilled personnel who can actually do it, right? It's a critical point in the industry, right? So that requires some motion in that direction. And so we decided to start there specifically for that reason, right? So our first AI helps folks to extend their ability to design these maps much faster than it's ever been done before.
And if I remember correctly, Frio, this is one area where you have achieved, definitely surpassed the human abilities, right? So in terms of efficiency, give us some numbers. In terms of efficiency of the process now, we're well beyond what humans can do by themselves.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So we reached an inflection point kind of last year. We've been working on this technology actually for years now. It's a difficult endeavor, right? So to create an AI that operates at engineering level, right? But last year, we finally kind of broke through essentially the productivity level of a human designer and engineer, right? So, and again, as our name implies, our company name is Augmenta, right? So this is a technology that is meant to extend human capabilities, right? So it's not meant to replace the human expertise, right? But is to provide them a much broader set of information that can help them make the right decisions at the right time, right? So that's really the critical factor, right? So, but last year is that we exceeded the productivity of a person. So as in the designs generated by the AI, right? So even after further massaging by the human engineers, right? So the total time that it takes for the combination of our AI and humans, right? So is less, right? So the time is actually now lower than what a person actually does on their own, right? So, and now like 6-8 months later, right? So we are already twice as fast. So as in the artificial intelligence has learned to create designs that are more and more precise, if you will. There are more and more exact the specifications that a foreman or an engineer would want them to be, right? So, and so the amount of manual intervention to tweak them, to fix them, is progressively being reduced as the system kind of learns more and more from live projects. And so it's great to see, because we already see buildings actually being built as a result, right? So I'm very proud I'm a computer scientist. So for me, it warms my heart to actually see physical manifestations of what our artificial intelligence provides, right? So to engineering firms.
And it's improving faster and faster. And so I'm thinking of the next steps for you. So you, as you pointed out, you've inverted the thinking by starting with the actual construction rather than the overall design.
That's right.
You focused on the electrical components, the electrical wiring. What are the next steps? Are we, is the idea to then extend to the other key nuts and bolts components of the process and then gradually move up to the design stage?
Oh, absolutely. So again, there's a reason we started from the trades, as I said, right? So if you add the mechanical trades, so all the heating, cooling equipment and ducting inside a building, the plumbing trades, so all everything that actually kind of drains your faucets and your toilets and provides water, and the electrical trades, if you combine them, the it's more than half of the cost of construction for a building, right? So especially for specific buildings like hospitals, right? Or schools or like other commercial residential buildings, right? So it's a very significant work, not just for the construction parts and materials, but for the labor involved and the design work, right? So it's way more than 50% of the design work. So the next step is indeed actually going to extend the ability of our AI to design the so-called MEP or mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems together, right? So again, as I mentioned earlier, one of the challenges, even in the most modern kind of state-of-the-art digital workflows of creating these 3D building models and maps, right? So is that more often than not, they are created by different teams of people. Because again, the experience required to do this is so specialized that they cannot be done by a single individual or a single kind of group of individuals generally, right? So because this is actually a process that involves different groups of people, there is an extra step in the design process called coordination. Coordination means that all these individuals that design portions of a building, right? So have to come together and make sure that physics is respected, as in two items or two pieces of construction material don't occupy the same space at the same time, because that would violate laws of physics, right? So, but again, this is absolutely possible inside a digital tool that doesn't have the thought of construction, right? So anything that represents only lines and rectangles and boxes, right? So has no concept of the impossibility for due to physics, right? So of having two objects and occupy the same space. So people who design these systems in isolation have to come together and resolve that. So that is a major, major drain of resources and time in modern construction projects that we want to address as the next step with artificial intelligence, right? And so the fully coordinated design of the building's kind of systems and the building structure are the direction that we're taking in the next year and then following.
And I'm imagining, Frio, as you do this, two things will probably happen, but tell me if my guess is correct. One is there will be potentially a huge reduction in waste and a much greater precision in the estimation of the materials needed, the cost, the time of construction. And secondly, this will also probably enable us even faster progress towards the sustainability, and so towards improving and optimizing the environmental impact of construction. Is that right?
This is spot on. Again, construction projects are all about risk management, right? So, and like the economics essentially of these projects impose that very careful consideration is given to these design affordances and constraints, if you will, right? So anything that increases the productivity, anything that reduces the time, right? So is obviously a colossal advantage. And anything that reduces the time, but simultaneously makes the decision more precise, right? So is obviously beneficial from a variety of perspectives, right? So just as you said, right? So the impact is not only going to be a reduction in the cost, right? So and reduction in cost actually can come from a variety of sources. More efficient use of material is a dual benefit, right? So on one hand, it costs less to procure, right? So, but on the other hand, there's less material wasted as a result of imperfection, right? Or rework, right? So due to the high detailed nature of these high precision maps, right? So, but on the other hand, again, this reduced waste has environmental impact because these excess construction materials actually don't go into a landfill, right? So the other aspect is the time, right? So saving time has multiple implications. One of them actually being, again, reducing the total cost of construction, of course, right? So, but there's other implications that are really intriguing and interesting. One of them being allowing enough time for considering options, right? So today in construction projects, because once again, the construction design process apply only to one building at a time, right? So it's extremely targeted, right? So as we were saying earlier, right? So there is hardly ever enough time or budget actually for people to really explore all the options available to them, right? Imagine essentially if all buildings for all buildings, it was possible for the engineers to consider any type of heating option that there exists, right? So out there, or any type of floor layout that exists that could be conceivably fitted into, you know, a particular building envelope, right? So as in, these are really fundamental decisions that impact not only the cost of construction, but crucially, the life cycle cost, the operational cost of building after they're finished, right? So essentially, that is really kind of what matters from a sustainability aspect in the long term, right? So the energy usage, the embodied carbon. Right? So compressing the time it takes to craft building designs that are very optimized, right? So allows people to make critical decisions of this kind, right? So in a way that is net, that will be, again, it's unprecedented, right? So it's never been possible other than for a tip of the spear, incredibly complex and incredibly expensive buildings to be designed this way with this level of purview. And in fact, again, something else that really warms my heart is that the very first building that was constructed, that was actually, you know, constructed with the output, with the aid of artificial intelligence, is a public school, right? So it's not a luxury resort in the Middle East, right? So, but it's actually a small public school in rural Michigan, right? So, which is really, this is what this company is about, right? So this is the level of democratization of affordance that we're aiming for. And this is, I think, actually crucial to the adoption of artificial intelligence in this field. The fact that it can be deployed anywhere, right? On any type of construction, anywhere.
And that is a very important point, because Frigo, we started off by talking about the importance of construction and the built environment in our lives. And we talked about the economic significance. The other part of it is when we think of emerging markets, since you pointed out how this can be applied really anywhere. As emerging markets keep growing, there is a continuous process of urbanization going on. So demand for the construction of new buildings across the world is going to increase dramatically over the coming decades. So improving the process through artificial intelligence, as you are doing, has enormous potential benefits in terms not just of the reduction in cost, the reduction in environmental impact, but also in the possibility of creating safe and pleasant built environments for a huge section of the world population, which still doesn't have it.
100%. Again, you're spot on. The increasing demand and the increasing level of urbanization faces a potential catastrophic outcome, which could be like the random urbanization or the rush to urbanization, right? So with very little kind of time or budget or affection essentially for the human condition overall, right? So, so the challenge is that, again, with the workforce issues, right? So the amount of labor that is missing from the construction industry globally, right? So, and at the same time, again, the demand for urbanization and for new construction is really reaching a critical threshold where, you know, if we don't introduce differentiating items like artificial intelligence, if we don't introduce in the industry substantial innovation in the design and construction process, right? So again, the risk is really creating environments that are not tolerable, right? So that are not designed for people to live in comfortably, kind of to your point, right? So, and so this is something that is extremely important and is something that would indeed actually make the built environment a lot more prominent in a bad way, right? So, you know, to people inhabiting it. So, you know, we're hoping that doesn't happen, right? So
we're hoping we can avoid it.
That's right.
You know, there is also another way in which our conversation is very, very timely, because you and I are recording this conversation. It's about 1 week after the U.S. government has announced massive import tariffs on pretty much every single trading partner around the world. This, as we speak, this has created enormous uncertainty, collapsing confidence, growing concerns of a U.S. and possibly global recession. It's also, so on the one hand, you look at this and we are inevitably concerned about the short-term impact on the construction industry. On the other hand, one, it emphasizes the need for greater efficiency. And as a general consideration, because it's a natural reaction to a negative economic shock. Companies in every sector look for more efficiency. But here there is something more specific. You were pointing out how these applications of AI give us the power to consider an almost infinite number of variations of different configuration. So I'm thinking now of a company planning the building of or the construction of several buildings, large or small, and facing uncertainty on what will be the price of key materials, of steel, of cement, of labor. And this technology would now give us the possibility to very rapidly consider different configurations, different risk scenarios, and so optimize the solutions in a very uncertain environment, right?
Oh, 100%. So I attended a presentation actually last week where a gentleman actually, like the CTO of a very large general contractor in the United States, actually was very rightly mentioning that in the future, construction is going to be less a competition between construction companies and more a competition between supply chains. Right. So this is an interesting concept, especially now, right? So especially with the advent of tariffs and other potential economic challenges that derive from there, right? So it's a trajectory that demands having the supply chain be a first class citizen in construction projects, especially large capital projects, right? So to your point, the addition of artificial intelligence to the design process actually has, again, the two fundamental implications on time, right? So time can give you two benefits. One is you can plan much further in advance, as in compressing the design time allows you to explore a variety of options, as you were saying, right? So you can consider different suppliers. You can consider different options of buildings entirely, right? So even a full redefinition, essentially, of how to use a plot of land, right? So it can be to at that level of scale, right? So the optionality, right? So with design automation or that level of design automation. On the other hand, the other card that people can play or will be able to play with artificial intelligence is the opposite. There's postponing decisions that are risky to the last possible second and not lock in on decisions that were made in different economic conditions, for example, right? So, and make a decision only based on the latest and greatest information at the last possible minute before a construction project is started, right? So this is an affordance that, again, has never been present, right, before, right? So in effectively any industry, right? It can only be unlocked when, again, design automation is deployed at the scale that really affects people's decisional processes very, very deeply, right? So, and therefore, again, I expect this type of affordance to like fundamentally change the way contracts are made, the way stakeholders interact with each other, right? So, and I mean, ultimately, the goal is to remove the stigma that technology in construction is a zero-sum game. Right. So the challenge, to your point, especially in hard economic conditions, is that people try desperately to look at the opportunities to differentiate, to contain, to reduce their costs, to even maintain viability in some circumstances. Right. And in fact, again, we've seen historically that the largest adoption of new technology and innovations in construction has coincided with economic hardships. Building information modeling, which is kind of the latest, you know, greatest essentially type of workflow for design, right? So has really boomed after the late 2000 economic crisis, right? So, and before it was an interesting concept, but people didn't really adopt it actually in general. So obviously it would be best not to have economic hardships in the first place, but it is also an opportunity to really rethink and reshape for the better, right? So processes that have been ingrained for decades or some circumstances, you know, hundreds of years, right?
Exactly. It would be much better not to have economic crises, but that's once right. We have them, let's not waste them.
That's right.
Freeway, as I expected, this has been a fantastic conversation. Is there Anything that we left out or any last message that you want to make sure our audience takes away from our conversation?
Well, I mean, the point that we're trying to make here is that artificial intelligence really has the opportunity to have a outsized impact, right? So on human condition, right? This is actually kind of what we're after, right? So again, as you said, from an economic, societal and environmental aspects, right? So the opportunity is to truly create an environment for the future, right? So that is respectful, right? Is respectful of business. There's a respectful of, again, of the human condition, right? So of how and where people like to live, right? So, and respectful of the environment, right? So having less waste and less greenhouse emissions. So it's extremely exciting because not every day an opportunity of this magnitude really kind of presents itself. And not every day a technological approach, an avenue also presents itself to have this level of impact on human life and on the human race. Right?
Brilliant. Frio, Francesco Iorio of Augmenta, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us today and giving us a glimpse on how the construction industry might finally be changing thanks to AI.
It's my pleasure. Thank you again for having me, Marco.
And thanks everyone for joining us today. And please do check out this season's new episodes as we continue to explore the convergence of innovation, technology, and new business models, and how this convergence is reshaping industry and what it means for our ecosystemic futures. Follow us, like us, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always learn more or apply to be a guest speaker at shoshinworks.com. Thanks everyone.